Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Emily Scarlett. Our dependence on foreign oil, it's an economic concern. Some say a national security threat, but that may not be the case for long. PFC Energy, a Washington, D.C.-based consultancy, predicting that by 2020, the U.S. will be the top global oil and gas producer, surpassing Russia and Saudi Arabia. Jamie Webster is the senior manager of the Markets and Country Strategies Group, and he joins me now to explain how that could be. Welcome to the program, Jamie.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Mike.
Now, aren't we enormously dependent on foreign oil, and how could the balance of oil production shift so dramatically in less than a decade?
Well, it's really stemming from a couple of key technologies that have impacted the natural gas industry over the last several years, and now is starting to migrate and has migrated into the oil industry, and that is horizontal drilling and hydraulic fracturing. And hydraulic fracturing is still, you know, kind of an issue on the environmental side, and will continue to be on the news over the next couple of years. But those two technologies is what has allowed the United States to unlock, the resources that have always been here. We just haven't been able to tap them. And then, of course, adding on to that is, of course, with oil prices, above $100 globally, it makes it a lot easier to actually monetize these resources. But when looking at this increase in the growth, realize that while it will minimize, it will lower how much the United States needs to import from other countries in terms of oil, it's not going to shield us from the global oil price. It will still stay a global oil price, and we are still going to need to import oil.
So at this point, how much of our oil is imported, and by 2020, what percentage do you expect that number to be?
So right now, we import close to around 9 million barrels a day. We use around 15 million barrels a day of oil. Our biggest importer is actually Canada, which provides, roughly 1.8 million barrels of that. As looking out into the future, we would expect that imports are going to, needed imports will drop down to around the 5 million barrel a day level by 2020. So, about half. And more of our imports are going to be coming from our neighbor to the north, from Canada. So while we will still have imports from all different countries, increasingly our import is going to be coming from Canada.
When it comes to the oil we're going to produce here in the U.S., where exactly is that going to come from?
It comes from a couple of different locations here in the U.S. One is the Bakken field, which is up there in North Dakota. But there's several other fields that are being looked at as well. The Eagle Ford Shale, which is down in the Permian Basin, kind of West Texas area. So West Texas is where you'll see it. You'll see it up there in the north. The Utica Shale is kind of to the east of where you guys are at, and that's still being determined on whether that's more gas, natural gas, or whether it's more of an oily shale.
In terms of pulling oil out of shale, isn't that an energy-consuming process? I mean, isn't that a difficult thing to do, and does it really yield that much oil?
Well, there's a couple of things. One, we're talking about more the within the United States, it's the shale oil. So it's the you need to do hydraulic fracturing and the like. You're probably referring more towards the very energy-intense process of the oil sands up in Western Canada, which is the oil is mixed in with the sand and the like, and so it needs to be heated up so that you can make that separation process. And, of course, heating it up requires energy itself, so it requires, a fair amount of natural gas, which, previously used to come here to the United States. But because we, have increased our own natural gas supply, we don't need to have that anymore. But you are right, that is a more energy-intensive sort of resource, and that is when you're looking at the costs of developing different oil resources, that is generally sits at the top and needs $65 to $70 a barrel in order to in order to be produced profitably.
I'm talking to Jamie Webster. He's the senior manager of the Markets and Country Strategies Group at PFC Energy, a Washington, D.C.-based consultancy. What about the environmental concerns? There certainly are concerns with hydrofracking and in general with oil production. Is that something that that is going to be a major problem if we start drilling within the United States aggressively?
Well, one, we are already drilling aggressively here in the United States, and for many people, it is a major issue. There's concerns about hydraulic fracturing impacting water supplies. There's concerns by local residents that maybe are not used to kind of the Texas way of living, which is seeing rigs and seeing trucks with fracturing fluid and the like going through their area. The effort needs to be on managing those risks so that we can still get the supplies, because they are a really important component of the U.S. Economy going forward.
What about peak oil, though? I mean, we've heard these dire predictions that the future of oil supply is going to be more and more scarce, and it could lead to skyrocketing gas prices, even a massive global economic slowdown. Are these types of fears completely unfounded?
We understand the fears on peak oil. Our view is not that that you will reach peak oil, but rather that you'll reach kind of a peak capacity. There's a couple of things that's keeping oil production maybe lower than it potentially could. One is nationalism that you see in a number of different countries around the world, where essentially Western governments, Western companies and even Chinese companies and the like are not allowed to go in there. That essentially the state has control of the resources, and that tends to limit things. The other is just the dearth of petroleum engineers and competent people to go in that. In this time where we're still dealing with fairly high unemployment in the U.S., if a young guy is smart and sharp and can get through his bachelor's degree and come out with a petroleum engineering degree, he can make six figures right out of school, and that is here and now. So we don't see peak oil as really occurring, because one, that indicates that that the world has reached half of its production and is now going nothing but down. But what you increasingly find is that as you continue to kind of push up against the need for more oil, you start to get into using new techniques such as hydraulic fracturing and horizontal drilling that I've talked about, that allows you to kind of keep production going up.
But we've got countries like India, China. I mean, these countries are developing very quickly. From what I understand, they're going to be using a lot more oil. Are you saying that we are not really going to be faced with an oil scarcity problem in the future?
We don't see like an oil scarcity problem, but realize that the way oil markets deal with a quote-unquote scarcity problem or a perception of a scarcity problem is that essentially you just have the price rise up significantly. I mean, so it's not so much that oil is not available, it's that cheap oil is not available. But you are right that essentially the developing countries is where you're going to see all of the oil demand growth. For us, India certainly is a bit of a growing region, but actually the Middle East is growing on an oil demand basis as strong or stronger than India, and actually Latin America is growing even stronger. China itself, which is really the area where you're seeing the bulk of, close to half or more of the global growth over the next couple of years, recognizes the fact that, they can't just keep growing like this. They are concerned themselves about energy security.
When we talk about oil, for most Americans, the real issue is the price of gas. That's what they're focused on. And when you say that easily accessible oil is what will be difficult to find, isn't that going to be the ultimate factor in the price we pay for gas? And do you expect gas prices to get higher? I mean, we're in the $3-$4 range. Could we see in the near future $5 a gallon and above?
It is possible that you could see $5 a gallon. We don't have that as our base case, and I don't necessarily expect that. But over this next year, we really see, if anything, a real concern about downward moves on gasoline. And I know you're probably going to say, well, that sounds good to have, you know, lower priced gasoline. And I know my dad would say the same thing. But generally, if you have a move where, you know, gasoline prices fall significantly, so say they fall down below $2, what that really indicates is that while gasoline itself might be really cheap, we're probably in another global recession, which is not good for anybody. That basically you've had demand fall off so much, which would probably stem out of the Eurozone, that, you know, that it also impacted gasoline prices and brought them down. But I would say that, you know, for what you can expect over the next couple of years, I would say that, you know, $3 plus a gallon gasoline is something you should, that consumers unfortunately need to get used to, with the recognition that in the summertime months you may regularly see, you know, $4 plus.
Jamie Webster, the senior manager of the Markets and Country Strategies Group at PFC Energy, a Washington, D.C.-based consultancy. Jamie, thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
And we'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.